Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Jeff Miller in for Carmen DeFalco on Carmen and Yurko, and it's our opportunity now to crosstalk with Waddle and Sylvie. Adam Abdallah is in for Waddle today. Crosstalk is brought to you by IDOT's Life or Death Illinois. Driving responsibly and paying attention are the only ways to stop distracted driving. It really is a matter of life or death. Learn more at lifeordeathillinois.com. Abdallah, Sylvie, how you guys doing after a late night of Blackhawks hockey?
What's up? I was drinking coffee at like 8:30 at night.
Can you do that? You can do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did it too last night.
And you right asleep, Yerk?
Yeah, like an angel, I fell asleep.
I mean, I got other things to help me sleep. You know, I got uppers and downers. So,
right. So, I don't know.
Is it edible to get to bed last night?
Every night. Help me sleep.
Good for you.
Hey, Yerk, my edible day is coming up Friday. So after my treatment is the day that I usually go 25 milligrams of an edible.
It is
a lot. I know that. But I got to get to sleep because steroids are nuts. And then, like, the last time I did it, I was watching Kyle Hendricks pitch. And it was so crazy. So I'm just going to rinse and repeat.
I like that you have an edible day. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I still don't love it where I don't get the same joy out of that that I do of a alcohol buzz. But I've been without alcohol now for like 4 months or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I need something to put me to sleep. So, look, if it includes a little bit of a trip while Kyle Hendricks is throwing on opening day, fine.
I did not go to the coffee last night, Sylvie, during the Hawks game, but I'll admit that I was a little more tired than I expected. I was drifting off a little bit in the third period on the couch, and it basically shut. I had plans. I was DVRing Hard Knocks Los Angeles last night, and I was gonna try and like zip through it last night after the Hawks game wrapped up, but
it
was just like, all right, I can't do it. I was just too tired. And you know what would have helped? Had the Hawks won, I think I would have had a little bit of an adrenaline rush and I would have been able to power through it. But after that performance last night, the Hawks put me to sleep.
Yeah, yeah, especially because you had some hope going into the third period, didn't you?
Yeah, it was 2-1.
They're down 2-0, they get that goal, and then you're like, okay, all right, you know, they didn't allow a goal right at the end of the second period. What can you do? And it was just nothing worse than staying up late for a game and not getting the good result, you know, and seeing a crap third period like we watched.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think for me, the reality, you know, was starting to set in again that what last night proved is that, look, Vegas is a really good team. In my opinion, there's three teams in the Western Conference along, you know, you've got the Knights, the Avalanche, and the Blues that are kind of head and shoulders above the rest. And so even though the Hawks gave their fan base something to get really excited about with the win over the Oilers, the reality is now this is truly Stanley Cup playoff action that you're in. And it's going to be a much tougher uphill sled.
Well, I think that because the lottery was Monday,
mm-hmm.
you know, you kind of don't have the regret of the, well, they probably should have just gone into the lottery because they could have had that number one pick. But at the same time, you see how far away they are from a Stanley Cup contending team after yesterday's third period. And you're just like, okay, well, maybe we should have pumped the brakes on all that Edmonton beating that they did last week.
Yurko, are you painting hope at all? I mean, do you watch that and say no chance?
No, I wouldn't say no chance, but they've certainly got to play a lot better. You're not going to win scoring one goal. And if Corey Crawford's going to flub pucks and just wave at them, then they don't have much of a chance. They've got to play better on all sides to have themselves a legitimate chance. But no, I think they got a chance. I've got them losing in six. I still think they're going to find a way to win two games here.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I feel like this is the sport where in one period, the game can totally flip. We see it all the time where the Hawks, when they were great, would dominate a period, and then the next period, you know, the Blues look like they're dominating it. So game to game, I still think that a lot that they've got with Crawford, don't second guess Crawford.
Right.
They've got a lot of guys who can turn it around, and I am going to sell Abdallah some hope today.
Sylvie, here's what happens. You know, they were down 3-1 against the Nashville Predators, and they came back and ended up winning that series 4-3. They've gone to game sevens in conference finals.
Right.
It's not like they were, oh my God, so much better than the other team they played. They were just good enough to get by them, and then they won in the Stanley Cup when they got there. The great thing about the Hawks, they went to 3 Stanley Cups, they won all 3.
Right, right.
You know, when they were doing their losing, they were doing it before they ever got to the Stanley Cup. So 3-for-3 in Stanley Cup finals. But, boy, they've had some disappointing losses also. Arizona,
yeah.
The year they lost to one of the Los Angeles teams when the
– Couple of years.
Yeah, it just crushing.
Remember Vancouver when they were down 0-3 and then they rallied back to force a game seven? And I believe that went to overtime. And they didn't Sharpie have, like, a prime opportunity in one of the overtimes?
You know what? That sounds very familiar, Sylvie. I can't – put my finger on it, but
first round,
yeah, that sounds very familiar. I think you're accurate.
I look, don't second guess my memory here. You know, Cap may do it, and he may do it in a weird way.
I'm not to blame
the chemo, but I still remember all this. I stayed up late for these games.
I am by no means second guessing any chemo brain that you're bringing at us here. I personally can't confirm it. So I'm not going to lie. Sometimes, like outside of big goal, you know, game winning goals for the Hawks, sometimes it's kind of all like I remember vividly the Los Angeles Kings. You know. Eliminating the Hawks from the Western Conference Finals in Game 7.
14. That was 14.
That one was probably the hardest. But outside of that, I have, you know, prime chances in Game 7s. I don't always remember those.
I think it might be more of a THC brain than anything at this point.
No. By the way, my guy texted me, and he goes, 25 milligrams, exclamation mark, question mark.
He probably thought you were going to cut that into four chunks, maybe even five chunks.
That's supposed to last you. So, no, I got to get to sleep. What am I going to do?
It's all you can do, kid.
If I can interrupt real quickly, Jeff mentioned something before the break that he wasn't impressed with.
Oh, you're here this time? You've decided to stay with Crosstalk?
Like, well,
you're not out the door now.
In my defense, usually Abdallah starts bumping in and cleaning off everything before I can even do anything. So I let him get in and take over. Yeah, so that's why I leave. But Jeff made a comment that Charlie Blackman hitting 400 right now basically is no big deal for him. He's hitting 500 right now, but the fact that he could hit 400 in the 60-game season was no big deal. And some people on Twitch are taking offense to that, Jeff.
If he hits 400 in a 60-game season, people are going to give him some type of accolades?
Roderick James says, these are the 7 players that have hit 400 in the first 60 games of the season since Ted Williams did it. Chipper,
listen.
Tony Gwynn, Larry Walker, Paul O'Neill, Rod Carew, Hank Aaron, and Ted Williams again.
I'm in that Twitch chat a lot, and I'm not trying to call people out, but I will call out Roderick James as a big well actually guy on Twitch.
Yeah.
A big well actually guy.
He's a P1. Yeah,
he's
in the chat. Yeah.
Great listener. Listen. Love him. I hope he well actually's us for the entire time we're on Twitch. But he's a huge well actually. Well, guys, listen. And it's like, okay,
can I tell you something?
It's a 60 game season. It's not.
Dolly, he just agreed with you. He just said fair enough.
Yeah, see, he is. Listen,
but
at least he owns it.
Talk to him.
I don't.
I
don't
care.
Make a
personal plea.
I don't care. You can list off a group of Hall of Famers, virtually what you did there, Yerk. It doesn't matter. 60 games, that's great. We see guys go on great 60, you know, game stretches all the time throughout a Major League Baseball season. Like, I can't believe this is even, like, people are writing about it. Like, hey, what if a guy can actually hit 400? So what? Great. It's a 60-game season.
You don't care.
Still impressive.
Two things on this. It is impressive, Merck, but there's a difference. Number one, I told you so guys and guys who are like Roger Chains can be identified by fellow guys. And that's why Abdallah the contrarian called him out. So that's one. Because Abdallah's totally that guy.
No, I'm not the one.
You're totally that guy.
I'm not well actually or contrarian. I have opinions, and my opinions are based on my opinions.
And
that makes
contrarian
sense.
Takes. Opinions, you love being on the contrarian.
No, I don't. Listen, if I have an opinion that's differing of others, how is that contrarian? Isn't that what we do? Isn't that the very essence of sports radio is to have differing opinions?
Yeah.
How can you be contrarian, guy, if you have a differing opinion? That's sports radio.
Well, I thought the content call ended at 12:50, Abdallah, all right?
I'm just saying. Listen, PTI is on every day because of that.
Yes, yes, I agree.
That's
number
right.
two, but with Mellor's bringing up, the thing about hitting 400, Merck, there's a difference between being impressive and saying, good job, awesome, in 60 games. It's the going through the pressure of that last month of the season, entering at 403 and being exhausted with no greenies now where you could, the amphetamines, you can't get picked up, the press covering it, everyone asking you, hey, you went 1-for-4 today. It brought down your average by a couple of points. What do you think? Is someone going to get a day off tomorrow? What the end of a 162 game season and the wear and tear going into that is certainly a huge key factor in hitting 400.
Merck. Like, I'm not comparing it to 100. I'm just saying, if you in this crazy season, if you somehow hit over 400, I'm going to tip my hat to you, man.
Okay,
that's impressive.
No one's tipping your hat to Charlie Blackmon. But the point is, like, what I don't want to hear is going forward, you know, if we get back to some form of normalcy in the next few years,
yeah,
and you actually
in the
have,
record books.
You have a 162 game season. I don't want to hear like the last guy to hit 400 was Charlie Blackmon, and you don't get credit for the 400
you
season.
Never
I'm
get
sorry.
Anything. You never. I mean, you get your World Series championship, and that's it. Everything else after that just goes
by
the wayside.
I don't want like these weird caveats. Well, Charlie Blackmon hit 400 in the 2020 season. It's a weird year.
Even like, and it was wrong. But Roger Maris in what? How many extra games? Not many. Had the asterisks forever.
Right.
And like, this is 60 compared to 162. Of course you're going to, like, I think you separate all the records this year and you go, look, in 2020, here's what happened.
I said the only hitting record I will acknowledge is if a guy, and I don't think this is possible at this point, but if someone would have broken Joe DiMaggio's 56-game hitting streak, that one I'll give you credit for.
Okay.
Sure, go ahead. But outside of that, I'm sorry.
I think I was just taken back by how cavalier you were about what he's doing so far. He's hitting 500.
No, and I'll readily admit, if he hits 500, well then, okay, that's we'll give you a nice big round of applause.
A pat on the back and maybe a Hershey bar or
it's
something.
Really weird to be like, hey, somebody could hit 400 this season. Well, yeah, but it's a bit of a fraud, isn't it? Like, that's what we all need to, like, it's kind of silly.
I don't know if it's fraudulent, but I would not put it in the record books. It's just not comparable.
Yeah.
Not comparable. It's sort of like what they're doing. Didn't I read the NBA's doing, like, bubble awards where they're giving out the MVP of the bubble?
Did Dame clinch the bubble MVP last night with 61?
I think so, yeah. I mean, he's been awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Even though Skip Bayless doesn't want to give him any credit. But like that, they're doing separate awards for that. I think you do separate awards for the 60-game season, and you don't group it with 144 or 162 or whatever.
Speaking of I told you so's, Sylvie, you may have been off. I think you might have been off. But
was that?
Maybe Abdallah will remember that somebody on the Waddle and Sylvie staff picked the Portland Trailblazers as a nice dark horse bet if you wanted to go ahead and make a play.
Listen, they're barely going to be the Portland Trailblazers are going to be the Blackhawks. They're going to get swept out of the first round. Okay, congratulations! You hit 61, and you're going to get. And the Lakers are going to laugh you out of the gym.
All I'm
going to
say is, let's see what that final, what the odds are for the Blazers. I might be willing to make a play.
Well, there's no home court advantage, Abdallah.
Exactly.
If there's a year to do it.
What do you mean? There's no home court advantage. There's a LeBron and Anthony Davis advantage. Get out of here, Trailblazers.
That's different than playing in this.
Get out of here.
And do you guys have any opinion on the longstanding relationship and who's going to be allowed into the bubble by NBA players?
Yes. I have a take on this.
Yes. Go ahead.
I have a question about this. How many NBA players before they left were like, listen, baby, when we make it to the second round of the playoffs, you, the kids, everybody, y'all are coming in. if it's going to be great. We're going to party. We're going to go on rides. We're going to go on in Space Mountain and all that kind of stuff. Space Mountain, all that stuff. And now that they're hanging with their boys for like 3 weeks, how many of them are going to be like, you know what? You guys stay home.
None.
And I want to know. And I want to know how many people would want their significant. This is a business trip. This isn't a vacation. We're not going to Disney World. This is a business. I'm trying to win a ring.
Business trips don't last 2.5 months.
Yeah. I'm trying to win a ring. You guys stay home.
Former business trips, too, used to, you know, you could head out.
We're all going to share a hotel room now? Get out of here.
And meet an interesting person.
We're going to bring in cots for the kids? Get out of here. Stay home. I'll be home in 6 weeks. Deal with it.
You said cots, right?
I did say cots, yes. Everybody's had to do that where you got to bring in that extra bed in the hotel room because you're traveling with your parents. It's the worst. You're going to do that. NBA players are going to do that. LeBron's going to be living four to a room. Get out of here.
Well, that's different than bringing in somebody who you just met on Tinder and like or who's is.
I'm more in favor of that than the family's coming.
Well, wait a minute.
That's a business transaction.
Yurko could speak on this, too. Back in the day of single life, if you would leave cab fare or now call Uber or Lyft after like a little bit of a meeting and you wouldn't want them in bed after the fact, then they don't get a spot in the bubble. If you want them,
of course not.
Go ahead.
Of course not. No. Well, most everybody knows what their role is. You know what I'm saying? You consummate whatever needs to be consummated, and then it's wash up and hasta la bye-bye.
Right. Here's an Uber. Right. Here's a license plate.
Right.
It will be here in 8 minutes.
Right. Two-day Bumble relationship does not work, you know?
No.
It's not enough.
No. No, absolutely not, Abdallah. The guy with no family except for the three-legged dog
stay
and the wife.
Send me pictures.
Telling everyone to keep the family out.
Yeah, this is a business trip.
You don't like people.
This is a business trip. I'm here to
contrarian.
Win. I'm here to win games.
I think NBA players have a thought about the third leg that needs to be taken care of. They're going to be inviting.
Absolutely.
They're certainly going to be inviting
them in. That's
why
the opposite should be allowed. There should be no long-standing relationships allowed.
That's crazy.
Only Tinders.
What are you, a eunuch?
Only swiping. Get
them
in
here. What's going on over there?
I'm saying that they should be bringing in those people.
You're not bringing floozies in, champ. Only the Lord knows where them people have been.
Well, you test them.
What are you talking about?
Figure out where they
are. Test them for what, Abdallah?
Everything. There's no lag. Right?
The full gamut.
Right? There's no lag.
Run the full.
Test them and 4 days later, they're.
Run the full gamut.
They've got it. You know this. Come on.
We need a full panel.
Yeah.
So, well.
Abdallah doesn't know what he's talking about.
Full blood work.
Well, Yurko, I may anger you coming up next because I don't understand the Robin Leonard skate rule. I'm pissed about this. I'll start that with the Blackhawks thought. So, and look, Brett Favre. I don't know if you saw this, Yurk. Your guy Brett Favre would love to see Aaron Rodgers in a Bears uniform.
That's what I saw that. Yeah.
So we'll play that for you a little bit later as well.
Sounds like fun. I'm going to hang around. I'll be with Sylvie and Abdallah, who's in for Waddle today. So we'll be hanging out and talking lots of Hawks, NBA bubble floozies, I guess, and
Brett
football.
Favre
and Aaron Rodgers, maybe a Bears quarterback. Waddle and Sylvie up next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, we're available on Twitch, don't forget. And I usually at this time do send out a shout out to Twitch in the message board. I forgot to do that. So I will let everybody know that, hello, Twitch. And you can find it at twitch.tv. Follow us at ESPN 1000 Chicago. And it's a great new way to not only listen, but to watch the show. And I mentioned the interaction. So that's fantastic as well. It's all powered by Hawkeye's Bar and Grill in Miller Lite. Been to Hawkeye's Bar and Grill many, many times in the UIC area. It is a fantastic place. And, of course, I've been a big Miller Lite fan throughout the years. You too, guys?
Absolutely. Cold and refreshing.
Yes.
There's this huge Miller Lite, if you can see it on Twitch because you're watching Twitch right now, that gigantic Bears cooler. People have actively been trying to get us to give it to them. on Twitch.
Giveaway? We should do like a monthly Twitch follower of the day.
I don't know how we're, I don't know what the plan is for this thing, but it is awesome. It may just end up sneaking out of here one day.
I bet you Miller Lite would love to do that. I mean, I think it's a great idea,
Miller
too.
Miller just moved it in. Miller just moved it closer.
You move it over there. Yeah, I was going to ask you because it's got the bear on there.
Yeah, it's got the big bear on it. It's like got the mean bear, too. It's like metal. That thing's sturdy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You need that. Keep everything ice cold.
Sit on that and not have to worry about the cracking either.
So shout out to everyone in the chat. And again, it's a new way to consume the show. We've got ESPN Chicago's app. We've got on your smart speaker, you tell Alexa or Google Play to play ESPN 1000. You're in your car. The old-fashioned radio still works awesome. But if you want to watch, you want to interact and listen to the show, it's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. So the best investment as a sports fan is staying up late, knowing that you're going to be tired tomorrow, and having it pay off. It's an investment because you know that alarm rings early in the morning. You may have kids to deal with. You may be drinking. You know tomorrow's going to be a little bit rough. But if there is the reward at the end of staying up late, even if it's just a regulation game, if it's one or two overtimes, even more so, if they win, if they perform, you will always have that memory of staying up late, effort that you're tired the next day. The worst thing to do is saying, I'm staying up for all three periods. How much longer will we have sports? How much longer will this Hawks little run go? I'm not going to, you know, I'm still going to watch. And then in the morning, not only am I going to be tired, but I'm going to be pissed. And last night, guys, was one of those games.
Oh, absolutely. I'm a veteran of the late night creep, especially during college football season, as I'm chasing the late night Pac-12 games. And occasionally,
what is the late night creep though? That would be
creep,
something else.
Pac-12 after dark, getting those late games in. They don't even start till 10:30 at night, and you're just like, okay, well. I need to chase here.
You're not creeping on anybody, are you?
You're creeping on some bets. That's what the kids call it.
Like a late night chase.
Yeah, late night chase, I guess. So I'm a veteran of the staying up late just to be disappointed because I probably should not have bet on Washington State or Oregon, but maybe the overhits, which is what I was hoping for late in that Blackhawks game. I'm like, can you just pull the goalie already? Just do something so I can get to six goals and this pushes.
Is that what you're telling yourself or you're telling...
I'm yelling it at the TV. Well, I'm whispering it to the TV because my wife's asleep. But yeah, you're right. Staying up that late and then ultimately getting nothing out of it because you probably should have just gone to bed, just like the Blackhawks maybe should not have won that series against Edmonton. It's just upsetting because...
No, you can't go back to that now.
I can. I can immediately...
I immediately regret this decision.
I can immediately regret my decision. I can immediately do
one game and you're giving up on them.
Look, they looked outclassed yesterday. They looked tired.
Well, they are outclassed.
Well, I mean,
but hockey, strange stuff happens.
I'm not saying strange stuff can't happen. I'm just saying that based off of one game, which we are in a reactionary job here, and based on one game, which is all I've seen them play so far in this series, because they've only played one. They look like an 8 seed going against a 1 seed. They look like a 12 seed going against a 1 seed, which is what they are. They're a 12 seed playing a 1 seed.
What do you feel? How do you feel about this, Mallory? You're the big hockey fan. Are you total? I mean, look, I don't think it looked great in the third period, but we know things change quickly in hockey.
Look, like what I saw last night confirmed what I expected was going to happen, was that it was going to be a very difficult series to win. I guess it kind of knocked out some of the optimism that I had. Like, my hope was that maybe the Hawks, you know, because of the layoff, because of the pause, that they had restarted and they maybe had benefited more than most because guys like Taves and Keith and Kane, maybe the extended off period had allowed them to heal up more so than they ever really had in the past. And so I was hoping that maybe they were going to be able to find something, and some of the younger players were going to be able to contribute in a manner that maybe we weren't necessarily expecting. But it kind of all that the reality set in that, no, I think we're kind of closer to the team that was playing at a 12th seed level as the season concluded. So, like, look, you're right, Sylvie. It's the playoffs, and weird, strange things can happen. But right now, they look overmatched. And if Corey Crawford is not going to be able to play at the elite level that he's capable of, I don't know how they're going to be able to beat the Knights.
And that was a bad third period, and that was especially one of them was a super soft goal. And that's why I feel like Crawford could correct the problems. He can be better. We know that. The power play, I'm accepting the fact that the Hawks' power play sucks.
Yeah.
But I'm not accepting the fact that they give up shorthanded goals. You know, and they hit the post a couple of times there, too. I feel like the script can flip. And I know the Knights are good. PB was texting me saying, I know they're good. And they are outclassed. But several teams have been outclassed before, and they've won series. They've come back after looking bad. I want to know what Hawks fans think. 312-332-3776. I also want to bring up the skate rule. I mean, again, this is not the hockey aficionados may get mad at me, but I was pissed about Robin Leonard like trying to yell at the refs twice, saying, hey, blow the whistle, my skate has come off, the blade has come off here. And Edzo was even confused by this, and I don't like the damn rule, or I don't like the way that thing is being managed. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. So,
well, the rule states that you have to get off the ice on your own accord and play won't be stopped. Like,
yeah,
that's what the rule says, unless the player's safety is at risk.
And he was not unsafe. And
no.
I don't like any of this. So Robert Leonard in his complaining and blowing a whistle during that. And I want to equate it to something different. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. You'll get that from me next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
We're talking about the Hawks, and if you're totally discouraged after game one, and Abdallah, you had a great thought too about home ice and when it's a series or not too. So we could say that as well.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, as a lifelong Blackhawks fan, I don't think they're necessarily out of it. Puck Dalla here, sitting in for Mr. Dangles, Tom Waddle. I'm not fully convinced that they're out of it. I just think that they look like yesterday, they looked like a 12 seed against a 1 seed. And they say in hockey, you know, it's not a series until the home team loses. And in this case, it may never be a series because, you know, we're in a bubble.
Yeah.
So there's no home team.
Can't use that cliche.
Expert analysis here.
Patrick in Itasca, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, guys. What's happening? Sylvie Strong. Pray for you every day, man. Hope you get
better.
Thank
you, Patrick. Means a lot.
Yep. So, for all the Hawks haters, man, I mean, it was one game. I mean, it was 4-1. It was a little bit of a beatdown, but you know, don't forget in the regular season they were 1-1-1. They're right there with those guys. Yeah, Crawford needs to play bigger. I love how Taze is throwing down on the ice. DeBrincat and Strome—they've been nearly non-existent in the playoffs. Once those guys come back, even Kaner, you know, he's not putting money in the back of the net either, but once those guys catch on fire and they love bouncing back after a playoff loss, I think people need to keep the faith. I think they're going to re-strategize for the next game and don't give up on them. I'm not saying that they're going to win the series, but they're a good team and I think they're going to hang in there.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, one game in hockey is so small. We have seen 8 seeds beat 1 seeds all the time. We've seen teams come back from 3-0. I'm not telling you that I would predict the Hawks to do this, but I'm just saying and especially in this era, like Meller said, where Taves and Crawford and Kane, these and Keith especially, these guys haven't gone through the rigors of the last few months. I have faith that these guys can turn it around. I have faith that they could correct the problem. I do know that the Knights are better. So again, if I'm putting down a bet, I am betting on the Knights. But I by no means am saying, hey, because of that late night loss and it was 2-1 after 2 and they look like crap in the third period, am I going against the Hawks right now or pronouncing this over? Well, I am not doing that.
How many goals against Edmonton went in on second chances? You know, Eddie made a great point yesterday on the broadcast that they only had 2 or 3 second chance shots yesterday against the Knights because their defense is so good that they're helping out Leonard so much by clearing out pucks and going back on offense. And I think that that's something that, you know, the Blackhawks need to get more shots on net. I mean, they were outshot 34-20. They were outhit 35-20. Like, you only had Leonard only faced 20 shots the entire game. You have to You have to get more shots. Like, you have to keep peppering the net. You have to get guys in front
Q's
of the net.
Q's going
to
have an answer, Abdallah. Don't worry. We're in good hands with a Hall of Fame coach. Q is going to get the. He'll mix up the lines like he always does.
Oh, yeah.
In the postseason.
Put it in the blender. Put it in the blender. Well, yeah.
That, like, every time they show the bench, Mellor,
yeah,
that is the one point when I'm like, oh, we got that dude as our coach.
No, it's fair. And the one, you know what? One more thing I'll add, too. You know, I was Patrick when I was screening the call, was all mad that, you know, we're hating on the Hawks. The Golden Knights are very deep. Like, they're reminiscent of the Hawks teams that, you know, you knew the third line that would come out had a chance when they were winning cups to score some goals. The truth is, the Knights, they're three lines deep that can score, and their best goal scorer, Max Pacioretty, he played last night, but he's still rounding into shape. He missed the entire round robin. He's somebody who will be a difference maker, I think, as the series goes along. So the fact that they beat him 4-1 without their best player really being, you know, in good hockey form
scary.
Is to me a little bit, yeah.
That's
why I'm pessimistic.
Jason on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. Sylvie, I hope you're starting to feel better. I know camps is very rough, but I'm definitely pulling for you.
Thanks, Jason. I appreciate that.
So, I'll just say this quick, and then I'll hang up. They got to roll the four lines, but they really, really have to play and screen Robin Leonard. I mean, I know the skate was messed up, but take advantage of it. If you don't, it's going to be a four-game sweep, and we'll be singing the blues again.
Yeah. So, Jason, thank you. Here's the thing about I brought this up about the skate. What happens in a hockey game when, and we saw it yesterday, when you lose your stick or your stick gets broken?
You got to stay out there, and then, well, if it's during like a power play, the guy from Vegas stayed out there, and then once they cleared the puck, he skated back for a change.
Right. You either go back to the bench and get a stick, you find your stick, or you use your legs to block
the puck out.
Right,
first.
Right. Yeah. Like, stuff happens, and then you have to go to the bench. Like, I don't understand this rule that if Robin Leonard loses and it was his fault because he's, you know, hugging one of the posts, and then he knocked. It's not like some. It's an equipment issue. And so, dude, that's on you. And like, and then the whole delay, and I know I'm sounding like a meathead here. This whole delay, both times, the dude has to come onto the ice, and he has to like hammer in the new blade or the old blade and put it in. Like, if someone's got an equipment issue in any other game, football, if you're a different position in hockey, you skate off to the bench, and a new guy has to come in. Give me the backup. Get Fleury on the ice. Like, why am I holding up because your equipment is faulty and you knocked your blade off your skate? I don't like it.
I feel like it's a way. I mean, obviously, he can't control if the blade comes out. It's not like he's doing it on purpose to get a breather, to give his team a breather during a contentious power play or anything like that. But ultimately, this shouldn't be a judgment call. Like, Eddie was talking about it yesterday on the broadcast, how it's a judgment call by the ref to stop play or not. And during a playoff game like this, you shouldn't be, unless his safety is at risk, which it's not. He's a goalie. He's pretty much stagnant. He's not moving unless he's going behind the net or going out in front to grab a loose puck or something like that. During a power play, he's pretty much in net. So I don't understand why he had to go out or why they had to stop play so he could get another skate. Like, his body wasn't in danger in any way whatsoever.
What do you think, hockey guy? Am I a meatball for saying this?
I'm disappointed that the Hawks didn't take advantage of it, to be honest with you.
Oh, of course.
I thought they should have put the puck
Pepper
on
they
net.
They didn't get a single shot off.
That was the problem.
The whole game.
Like, yeah, in addition, but like, and I don't know if you guys saw it, like, Leonard, those skates are like 4 years old. That partially is on Robin Leonard. I will say that. Like, dude, you're a professional hockey player. You can get a new pair of skates. I know they're comfortable and you broke them in and all that, but that's to the point of it's truly on him because he's using old skates that he obviously doesn't need to at this point.
Look, Zion Williamson goes out there with a brand new pair of Nikes.
Blows out his shoe. Yeah.
Blows out his shoe. Not his fault. Brand new shoes every game usually for NBA players and for some college players. Maybe they go 2-3 games while they're wearing them.
But don't you have to pull him from the game runs to the back and get some shoes? Like if Khalil Mack's shoulder pads break, he's got to get off the field and get to the sideline and get an equipment. Tony Medlin's doing his thing, and he's changing him. And the Bears have to play a couple of plays.
If it's not a quick fix like the NBA, where if someone's shoe comes untied, they may delay bringing the ball up by like 5 seconds so the dude can tie a shoe. That's a quick fix. But in the NFL, you're right. If there's an equipment problem or if someone, how many times have we seen in the NBA, like Jimmy Butler had the wrong jersey on. He had a plateless jersey on.
Right.
He didn't have a name on. And they're like, you got to go change your jersey. You got to sit out while you change your jersey and then we'll start the game.
They delayed play, though. They waited till.
That's a quick fit. You just put the jersey on real quick. This isn't someone going out and having to re-bolt a skate back on.
I think the NHL goaltending rules, Meller, is the weirdest thing ever. Like, they pause forever for them. If their second goalie gets hurt, then you bring in some random dude who's the alternate. I think they may have stopped it this year. But, like, you get like some dude who's in a men's league who's 40 and he's playing for your team.
He can play for both teams. He's the home ice emergency goalie. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever's second goalie gets hurt, if both goalies go out, it's not somebody in your farm system that's an alternate. It's a guy who's a random dude who's ready to take over.
See, this would be so cool this year if you had that in the bubble where you had the third goalie just sitting in the stands with a spotlight on him, and while the goalies are giving up goals,
he's the only
left
guy
and right,
in the stands.
He's the only guy in the stands, and he's just sitting there with a spotlight on him watching the game.
How do you guys weigh in on quintuple overtime? Does that interest you at all?
Yeah, let's talk about that coming up next, too. And there's lots of football stuff that we want to get to. I want to ask you guys the question, is it really being disloyal if a Big Ten team still wants to play football, even though the Big Ten said there won't be football this year? We'll get into all that. Favre on the Bears situation at quarterback and possibly Aaron Rodgers playing for the Bears. So there's a lot to get after. If you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. We give you the floor at 312-332-3776. The 2 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by Manscaped, the Lawnmower 3.0. is the perfect tool for a safe and satisfying Manscaped job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the discount code Chicago.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So the Hawks are down 1-0. I haven't given up hope. It doesn't look great, but they've got a lot of guys that you trust still on this team. It's hockey. Weird stuff happens, especially during COVID, where guys in the NBA bubble have taken over. The Suns are 7-0. There are guys scoring a lot of points who normally don't score a lot of points. So I'm not giving up yet. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. Waddle's out, I believe. Like, half the crew today went golfing together. Took a nice summer day today.
Be nice.
Yeah, they could get that invite, right?
Listen, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. As a lifelong Blackhawks fan, I would not want to be anywhere else but breaking down this game.
When the big games happen, we have to be on the air the next
Absolutely.
Day.
I think I've been, I think for all of the Blackhawks Cups, I was here at some form, whether it was for the post-game show or like when I think Carmen and Yurko went on the air at like 6 in the morning one time or 7 in the morning
right after they won, right?
Yeah, after they won. So truly a lifelong Blackhawks fan
Some folks show up the day after their team wins a big game or loses a big game. Others take the day off.
Yeah,
you've accused me of doing that too, of missing the big game. But
not when your favorite team's
no,
Sylvie.
Just big
That's
events.
Different.
Like, the day after.
No, we joke about you like to take the NFL playoffs or, the day after
the
NFL playoffs.
There was one time I went to Arizona in January, and it was like 5 or 6 years ago, and I've still Okay.
It's championship weekend. Listen, see you guys in a week.
All I can say is if the White Sox win the World Series title, I'll be here the next day. That's all I'm saying.
Somebody, Nick says, a good recall by Nick. Nick says, no Claude Beavers to discuss the NHL rules for last night.
He's busy.
He's golfing right
yeah,
now.
He's
he
golfing.
Got the invite to golf today with Waddle and Cap and everybody, right? Yurko didn't get the invite. That's
no, Yurko did, but he's got a foot problem right now. He's got a hurt foot. He's got a.
Is it gout?
It's not.
He's treating it like it's gout.
He's treating.
He stopped drinking for the last 5 days.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. During a Hawks game. That's amazing. All right. So, five overtime games. This was funny because if you looked in the box score for the game that was supposed to follow the five overtime game between Tampa and Columbus, they were PPD. I believe they were playing earlier today.
Yes.
And like, you get worried. You're like, hey, there have been no positive tests in the bubble. But PPD, the reason they PPD'd this is because it was too late to start the game afterwards, right?
Yeah, and I think, obviously, like, the Hawks were a victim of this a couple times. Waddle actually brought it up, of all people. Remember when he talked about them being the last game on the ice in Edmonton? They were the third game of the day. I think that was the concern, was that they were kind of essentially like supposed to like roll right into that Bruins Hurricanes game, but it couldn't happen because they were five overtimes deep into that game, and so the ice obviously wasn't. They were going to have time to really get the ice ready to go, and so it was just going to be a mess. So they decided to go ahead and postpone it to the today.
So what was your question?
My question
about
is though, do you look? There's part of you. I texted you guys. I said quadruple OT alert when it was going into the fourth overtime. And part of you, like, it's like, okay, we got ourselves some, you know, some crazy hockey. But at the same time, the skill level and the play, it's definitely waning because guys are just exhausted at that point. And I ask you guys, is that fun for you? Is it like, all right, this happens so rarely. It was the fourth longest game in NHL history. Is it something you're like, oh, this is interesting? Or are you just like, end it already? Put them out of their misery.
I watched it. It was interesting, but I wasn't as invested as if it would have been my team.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's like watching a baseball game that's gone like 15 innings. Like, I don't care who wins this game. This has no effect on me whatsoever.
Overtime hockey is the greatest to watch as long
there's
as
no
it's not your team.
It's just, they're just going.
As long as it's not your team involved. If the Hawks are in like triple overtime, it is excruciating.
Hockey on my sports power rankings list is like, it's probably... Well, not probably. Football's number one. Basketball or baseball, like, share 2A. And then it's hockey. But you are absolutely right, Mettler. There is nothing better in any sport of the what could happen at any time than your team playing in a multiple overtime game.
And I felt bad how that game ended, where the dude gets hit with the puck and is like crouching over in pain because that slap shot hit him right on the shoulder, and or where it looked like it got him where there weren't pads, and he's bent over, and then it ricochets off him, comes back, and the dude hits it on its edge, and it goes right into the goal. And you're like, okay, well, that's just a crappy way to win a game. But
so like, if I get Sunday Night Baseball and they're saying, hey, there's a 14 inning game, I don't usually go to it if it's two teams I'm disinterested in. And the same goes for hockey. But if it's the Blackhawks or the Cubs and the Sox playing, then I'm totally in it. And the difference between the baseball and hockey situations is that hockey, at any time, the game can end. You know, in a baseball game, you've got to play when it's playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to play the top and the bottom of the inning, and things could develop. But literally, that thing could end in 12 seconds, or it could end in five overtimes. And that's what makes it so magical in hockey.
Alex, you're in Wheeling. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up, Alex?
Good. I'm a big hockey fan. I really love the overtime system, I think, like that, especially when there's fans. It really makes the games a lot better. But, like, you know, last night was, I think, the fourth longest game, and for good reason. Like, I think after the third one, the style of play really turned into trash. I think Tampa had a power play in the fifth overtime, and they couldn't even get their passing straight. Like, these guys were up one dude, and they were missing tape-to-tape passes. They looked flat-out exhausted. And, like, I'm not saying the NHL has to change, but I definitely think, like, it's good these things don't go that late, so long. Usually, like, after three overtimes, these games, like, you can see the fatigue on the players.
You're seeing history.
Hope you guys have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.
I appreciate it. That's the point. Like, well, I love it. It's the fourth. Well, I would not change anything, and that's why I like the baseball rule of the runner on second, because hockey does it right. Hockey does a five-minute overtime, and then they get to the shootout in the regular season, and then the thing can go for 8 hours in the playoffs.
The crazy cool thing for me was that it was a completely unique situation, because usually, look, if you've got yourself a triple overtime game, you're talking 1, 2 in the morning local time wherever you are. Because of the bubble, it was happening at 8:30 at night, which was just, you know, I don't know if you'll ever see that again. I mean, unless we're in this current playoff format.
Look, started like at 3, right?
Yeah,
it started during the show yesterday. Look, don't get it twisted. I didn't go to it till after the Trailblazers game was over, and I saw Dame drop 61. So once that was over, Mellor was like, 4 overtime hockey. I was like, well, Dame's about to put 60 up, so let's just hold on a second.
Yeah, you were invested already, and what a great show that's been. 332-3776. So Brett Favre says he would love to see Aaron Rodgers in a Bears uniform. You'll hear that in 2 short minutes.